Like I said, John Michaels. So we all know, if you listen to the show, he hosts mornings at 680 The Fan in Atlanta, but he is born and raised in South Florida. And this dude who's tattooed with the Canes logo, who named his son Kane.
Oh, my goodness.
He flew from Atlanta to Miami to watch the Canes-Michigan State game Saturday.
I would give him the heads up not to cuss, but I know he's a professional, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't cuss, John Michaels. Cuss. John Michaels is with us. Okay, so how'd you feel about your trip down to Miami?
take out the 3 hours from noon to about 3 o'clock. It was awesome. Got to hang out with some great people during the tailgate. Cutler Ridge Lads, Monster X, you know, Fire Stick G, Mondo, you name them. Shout out to Derek Coe, who hooked me up with front row seats right where the team was coming out of town. Everything was great. Everything was great. Then we kicked off the game, and I saw the same crap that I've seen all 3 weeks this year. And then I listened to 560 this morning and heard Manny Diaz with all the same nonsense excuses. And here we are. We're on this hamster wheel of mediocrity for what now, year 15, 16 in a row? My goodness, Miami sucks. We are terrible at college football right now.
I feel like if you name yourself Firestick, you're asking for trouble. Just a thought I have. I just feel like you become much easier to track.
Somebody's going to test you.
You become much easier to track. Why can't they tackle, John? Why can't the Hurricanes tackle?
Well, judging by Gervin Hall, they're taught to run away from the guy that actually has the ball to go run. Channing, you played in the NFL. You played at a very high level at Florida. You played a very high level in the NFL. I've never in my life seen a safety who's running up to make a tackle suddenly turn into a Madden video game and glitch to the right. What the hell happened there? Oh, my goodness. Like, that's a play that should go for 1 yard. It goes for about 60. And it really changes the tenor of the game because Michigan State goes down and scores and takes the lead. And as we've known for all Manny Diaz team, unless they're winning, they don't play very efficiently. I've never seen a team tackle this bad. I think Pro Football Focus had it that Miami through the first 3 weeks of the season has missed the most tackles in all of college football. And that's a number that surprises absolutely nobody that's actually watched the game. Effort sucks. Execution sucks. Lane integrity sucks. You name whatever they're doing on defense, and our great new defensive coordinator, oh, his name's Manny Diaz, obviously is not teaching them anything. I guess rolling on a tire on top of a pad does not teach kids how to tackle in college football. Who would have thought that?
And John, just after my gut-cramping laughter watching the play, Joe evaluated. And Hawk asked me in the first segment. He was like, what happened? He's never been put in that situation before. That would have to be like with the ball carrier running at you and a blocker coming to hit you, the ball carrier usually takes precedent over a blocker because the blocker doesn't have the ball. I don't know why I'm explaining this.
I have a theory, John. My theory is Gervin Hall must have played offense in high school. I'm not kidding you. And he didn't do that intentionally. He forgot the game situation. He thought he was on offense. Blocking for the ball carry. He thought he laid out someone. And I'm not kidding. You think I'm joking. I think he forgot where he was.
Here's the worst part, Hawk. He didn't even lay the guy out. He ended up on his ass. I mean, you ran over there and got dump trucked. This is the same kid that Nick Saban took a helicopter to Palm Beach Lakes High School to try to recruit. I bet you Nick Saban's glad that Gervin Hall didn't get on said helicopter. But I'll say this in fairness. Gervin was a star in high school, Palm Beach Lake, where I went to high school. I guarantee if Gervin Hall was at Alabama, that kid is being talked about as an NFL draft choice. Whatever they are teaching these kids. Bubba Bolden is worse today than he was last year in the first snap he took at Miami. Gervin Hall was better as a sophomore than he is right now. I guess he's a senior. I've lost track of where these kids are. Gervin Hall has one interception in his career. Why in the hell is that kid wearing number 26? Manny Diaz, do us a favor. You won't change lineups. You're afraid to play guys like Leonard Taylor. James Williams gets two or three snaps. Do us all a favor. Walk in and tell Gervin Hall, look here, buddy, 26 is now getting taken off your chest. You can wear 2.6. You can wear 0.26. I don't care if you wear 260. You should never, ever be able to wear Sean Taylor's number running over and take. We became the laughingstock of ESPN for that play. We are literally at the bottom of the barrel. this is worse than the Al Golden era, and I never thought I'd hear that again.
And you bring up Al Golden. I was going to ask, was this the, what was that, Clemson, the 55-0? 58-0. Was this the 58-0? What, the numbers weren't as bad, but was this as embarrassing as that Al Golden 58-0?
I know Michigan State's improved, and Mel Tucker's done a good job. 20 transfers. They play tough. They play physical. There aren't five kids on that team that Miami probably even would have recruited. I know it's not 58-0. There were a lot more people here than were there at that Clemson game. But I'm watching a team going against a Michigan State team. By the way, in year two of the Mel Tucker rebuild, a Michigan State team last year that lost or won exactly two games, that got blown out by Greg Schiano's Rutgers team last year, suddenly walks into our facility in the fourth quarter, and this is the second hottest game I've ever been to in my life. My wife made us move the club seat. She goes, I can't take it. If we sit here any longer, she literally was going to pass out from heat exhaustion. Thank goodness my buddy Carlos up in section 217 had two extra tickets and we went up there. I watched Michigan State as we lazily put our fours up because it was the cool thing to do in the 80s. There ain't a kid on this team that believes the fourth quarter's ours. A Big Ten team in September in Miami took your lunch money in the fourth quarter. Yes, this is the Al Golden 56-0 game. There's nothing Manny Diaz can do to come back from this. I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that the ACC is still attainable. North Carolina and Virginia are going to hang 40-plus on this sorry-ass defense. I don't know now that you can beat Virginia Tech. I don't know that you can beat Georgia Tech. I see two winnable games left on the schedule for sure. Central Connecticut this week and Duke. Every other game now is a toss-up or Miami's going to be an underdog. They have no dog in them. They have no fight. And I think Big Julius said it best in Remember the Titans. Attitude reflects leadership. Our leadership is lacking from the athletic department all the way down. It's time to make wholesale sweeping change. You want to get Julio Frank out of there as well? Get them all out of there because our sports programs, they stink from top to bottom.
Not certain you can remove the president of the university over a football game. Maybe the athletic director and the coach. John Michaels is with us from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. So, obviously, you're done with Manny Diaz. There's nothing he can do this season that's going to change your mind, it seems like. Blake James, the athletic director, I mean, you look at the state of the basketball program, which seems to be underperforming a lot, the baseball program. You're done with Blake James, it sounds like, as well.
Both of those guys, quite frankly, I was done with a while ago. When Blake James, and I went back and I wanted to make sure I wasn't misremembering my own thoughts. I went back to a text string I had with somebody talking about when Mark Richt was let go. And I literally in that said, Mario would have been my number one. Butch Davis would have been number two. I'm not enamored with the Manny hire. But as always, I said, I'll see what he does. You know, maybe he ends up being better. Blake James, I don't know that he's qualified for this job. No, I'm not qualified for the job. I don't have the education behind it. But I look at Jim Morris walked away. And the baseball program was at the lowest point it had been in 40 years. You went back-to-back years without making the NCAA tournament. Year one of Gino DeMari was good. You made it to the regionals. You lost. I think the COVID year, you had a legit College World Series team. You lose a lot to the draft. And last year was an unmitigated disaster to where you have your best player or one of your best players in Alex Terrell transferring to FSU. Basketball got screwed a little bit by the Adidas scandal that we really had nothing to do with. But I have a problem when I see kids leaving the program as freshmen, four stars that are getting playing time. There's a disconnect there. Who's directly responsible for bringing these guys in? Blake James. The biggest thing, though, is he botched the football hire. If Manny was your guy, fine. At least publicly go out and actually interview people. Maybe you interview people and realize the in-house candidate isn't as good as the guy that maybe wants the job. We've heard Dan Mullen wanted the job allegedly twice. We never gave him the job. Mike Leach has died for the job. Now, I'm not a huge Leach guy, but you at least could have given him another interview. Mario would have loved to come back here 3 years ago. Now, you're probably going to have to pay $20 million to get him. That's on Blake James. You now have driven the football program to the point of apathy. There may not be 5,000 people at the game this upcoming week against Central Barter Barber College or whoever the hell we're playing. It is ridiculous where the program has fallen. It's gotten to the point, guys, where literally the only good thing about Saturdays is the tailgates beforehand, because when the game kicks off, it's a lot of yelling and screaming.
And John, I'm not even like I'm just a question. I'm not on either side of it because I remember when Jim McElwain was at UF, and I don't forgot what game it was. But after the game, I was like, I don't care if I ever see him again in my life. Just take him off of my screen, take him off of my sideline. But what is the advantage to firing a coach midseason? Like, does it help if they were to get rid of Manny, even and Blake? Like, if they made that big change, what's the advantage of doing it now?
I think the biggest thing is recruiting's changed. You know, even 5 years ago, you didn't have the early signing period, so you could fire a guy at the end of November when the regular season's over. You hire somebody by mid-December, you still have time to cobble together a recruiting class. You keep this staff in tow, and the recruiting class isn't even all that big right now for 2022 to begin with. What are you selling recruits? Like, if you were a recruit at that game, it was a half-empty stadium, which is normal, and then you underperform to a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team. And then you sell the excuse that our defensive line out-hit them. Really? I watched the running back go for $180. The salesman aspect right now is wearing off, and I think kids right now are going to realize, look, we don't want to go there. They're nowhere close to winning a national title, nevertheless winning an ACC title along the way. They're just not a good program. So I think the school could tell you now, hey, we get rid of the guy. You tell the recruits, hold tight. We're going to go get the type coach to turn this around. And the Board of Trustees or whoever's got the purse string, you got to open it up. This is a $5 million minimum hire, and I'm talking about annual salary and anything else. You got to pay $10 million to buy out Mario Cristobal, and you feel he's the guy, go do it. You need to pay Lane Kiffin $8 million to come here, go do it. You cannot be cheap because the program right now, I hate to admit it, it's irrelevant. And unfortunately for me, I bought into the offseason hype once again. I've always said, though, you got to start winning on Saturdays in September, October, and November. And once again, we're sitting at 1-2, not doing that.
Could still win the Coastal. John Michael, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And if Saturday wasn't bad enough, you had to sit through your Falcons game. We had to sit through our Dolphins game. What a weekend, John. What a weekend.
Yeah. We spend 9 months waiting for football to get here to do this to ourselves. And I was talking to Solana beforehand. He goes, you go to the Dolphins game. Honestly, this will tell you how much I care about the Falcons this year. I forgot they had a 4 o'clock game when I booked my flight back. And I go, oh, damn, I could have stayed for the Dolphins game. Thank goodness I was on a flight at 10 a.m. because I would have been even more miserable. The Falcons game, the best thing is I took a nap in the second half because I knew what was going to happen. I knew Brady would shove it to us. And I did exactly that. So I went to bed about 7:30 yesterday afternoon, and I was good.
What a weekend. John Michaels.
Hey, the heat starts soon.
Yeah, the heat starts soon.
The heat soon.
Kyle Lowry's wearing number 7. How dare he?
There we go.
John Michaels. Follow him on Twitter if you want Hurricanes opinions. He is nothing if not passionate. John Michaels U. He is looking for reimbursement for his trip to Miami this weekend. Boy, what a wasted weekend trip, man.
Brought the whole family.
Which is a terrible weekend trip.
The worst part is my Airbnb Friday, I go to check into this Airbnb, and it was like I was in a snuff film. I had to back out of the Airbnb and go get – I ended up staying at the Hilton in Fort Lauderdale Marina.
Was that bad?
My wife is a little bit bougie, but even I, who have stayed in some really seedy hotels throughout my life, I walk in and I go, what in the hell is this? An Airbnb nice enough to refund my money. Let's just say I was told I was staying at a waterfront loft. They pictured it as if it was like a nice one-bedroom apartment. It was a hallway with a dirty couch and an even dirtier bed that I think was on either a canal or a water runoff. It was not waterfront at all. So, yes, it was a miserable weekend.
Runoff.
Exactly.
It was a good harbinger of things to come, John.
Come on, baby.
It was terrible. But the rest of the weekend was fun. Like I said, saw some good people. The wife enjoyed Fort Lauderdale. Next time I'll communicate with you guys better so we can all hang out at some point.
I had no idea that John was – and now I remember him telling us he was coming in, but all of a sudden on Twitter I see he posts a picture from the parking lot at a tailgate. I'm like – so I tweet him. I'm like, are you in town? I'm like, I would have come to the game if I knew you were in town.
I was in the Keys.
Better.
I caught a 40-pound dolphin and ate tuna. I think I had a better weekend than all of us. Yeah,
I think you did.
Right. There was a weekend that I thought I was going to be able to talk trash because Central Florida blew a game. Florida State did what they did. The Gators lost. I said, all right, we lost too. I just had to sit here and be quiet and take it.
John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Thank you, John.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. That's part of the fun that we're having today.